This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I think the traditional thought, every situation's different, but the traditional thought, when somebody comes out with a whole lot of bluster, when they got a big comment to make, is that a coach of said team will kind of roll their eyes. Like, ugh, we don't need bulletin board material.
Right.
So everyone through the All-Star break with no access to Steve Kerr because he's golfing, everyone I think was kind of wondering, how will Draymond's, I don't know if you call it a guarantee, whatever, his prediction, how's that going to land with Steve Kerr? So he addressed this yesterday as well. And this is what he had to say with regard to Draymond saying that they were going to win the championship.
I love that he said that. It's that's the goal. And I believe that we can win the championship. I just feel like Draymond putting it out there sets a good tone for our guys. I can also hold him accountable to that. If we're going to do that, we got to be locked in. We got to be together. We got to be able to play through every bit of adversity. And so I love that he laid it out there. And now that's my job to help him go do that.
Okay, that's an interesting answer to me, because he's not like joining Draymond in the yep, yeah.
Yeah, he's right.
We're amazing. It was more like, okay, Draymond, if that's the assignment that you're going to lay out here on the craft services table for everybody here in the Warrior locker room, perfect. Thanks for doing that for me. Now I get to hold everybody to it, starting with you. He looks at it more as like a tone setter than any sort of like big prediction.
Yeah, and when you've won four of them, it doesn't have the same amount of pressure where if they don't win the title and somebody wants to go to Draymond and say, well, Draymond, you said you're going to win it. Boy, were you wrong. Boy, are you stupid. It's like, no, I've won four. And, you know, I looked at what we had and I thought that we had what it took because I've won four. And so, yeah, maybe I'm wrong this time, but P.S., I've got four. Not that you have to rub people's noses in it, but when you make this declaration, having done it four times, it holds a little bit more weight than if somebody on OKC comes out and goes, you know what, we're going to win the title. Even though they're the one seed, it still is like, okay, young bucks, you go show me. You've never done it.
I got a question for you, because the Warriors have done this before.
Four times.
No. Not win a title.
Oh, yeah.
They've done this before where they tell us they're a title contender, and then they don't win the title, and then the season ends, and they go, yeah, ooh, we weren't actually a title contender.
What was that, 2 years ago?
It's every year. It's every year.
Well, they don't normally come out and say it like he said it with his chest.
They don't say it like that, but that's Draymond All-Star Weekend. So to me, I tuck that into, dude, you're just doing that because it's All-Star Weekend. You have a huge platform. And literally every time it was Draymond's turn, he said something that was national news. Every time. All-Star Game sucks. Rising Stars shouldn't be here. NBA's boring. We're going to win a title. It was like every time it was his turn, he went with something that was quote board material. But in a more subtle way, Warriors have done this every year. In fact, we learned after their most recent title 3 years ago that even they didn't think that was a title team, even though it won the title. And then the very next year, they're like, we're a title team. And then they lose to the Lakers in six games. And they're like, yeah, it actually, it wasn't right. And we had the whole Jordan Poole thing. And so it was just off. And then last year, they were like, are you kidding me? I mean, Klay Thompson is staring into the rafters. He's mad after every game. They're just like, yeah, this was not a title team. But there's never been a February in the last 6 years where the Warriors at a press conference have been like, we're not there. We don't have the horses to do this. They say it every single year. And then a lot of times, come April or May, they're like, not really.
Right.
So this is still at the core of what I'm thinking. I want to know to what level they actually, deep down in their bones, believe what they're saying right now.
I think more than if they said it last year or more than if they said it the year before because of what happened when you got Jimmy Butler. And you look at this team versus last year, and I think Grandy was sharing it on our thread. Last year, they were 28-27, and this year is 28-27. And I think that's what they were last year.
29-26, yeah.
Last year, okay.
One game ahead of where they are now.
I didn't have the text in front of me, but the greater point is they are what they were basically last year, and I look at this team versus last year, and I look at this team and think this team is significantly better. You don't have Chris Paul, and you don't have Andrew Wiggins, but you've got Jimmy Butler, and you've got an improved Jonathan Kuminga when he comes back healthy, hopefully next week. Pods is better, and the rest of your ancillary pieces, I believe, are better than what you had last year, including you don't have Grumpy Klay anymore. So I look at this team versus last year's team, and I think this team is better.
Right, but you know what's terrifying about that when we keep doing that? We keep going, oh, hey, this is where they were last year, and then this is what they did down the stretch. I think Grandy said, what, 29-26, and then they won 17 of their last 27?
They went 17-10 to close the year.
17-10 out of those last 27, which put all that together, that's 46 wins. And what did that earn you? One game in Sacramento in a blowout.
And you lost. Yeah.
So like when we do that, we're like, hey, they're only one game behind where they were last year, and we think they're better this year. And here's where 46 wins tends to get you historically. My issue with this is that history starts to not matter. We're only talking about this year and 46 wins or 45 wins and these numbers that we think that the Warriors can get to this year, that might not be good enough. Like, if we're actually talking about the 6 or the 7 seed, do we sincerely understand in this moment that that means you need to pass either the Clippers or the Timberwolves or both? Not just the Mavericks and the Kings.
No, both. To be the 6, you have to pass both.
You have to pass them both. Or the Lakers or the Rockets. Somebody else is going to have to careen out of there. So, no 17-10. No. Not good enough.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is not good enough. You are going to have to win at least a clip of two out of every three games and maybe better.
Well, that's 18-9.
Right, and maybe better, well, is my point.
You just never know. And last year, if you would have been, what, one game better or two games better, you would have been a 7 seed. So,
which is huge.
Right, but that is where the margin is. And I'm looking back at the 22-23 season where the Suns were the 4 seed with 45 wins. So every year is different, where this year it looks like 46 wins might not be enough to get you the 6 seed. You probably need 47. You might need 48, but every year is different, and you don't know what these other teams are going to do down the stretch. And you mentioned the Lakers, who are off to a little bit of a rough start with Luka and all the other dysfunctionality that's around the Western Conference.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, it feels vulnerable, and so that sort of makes me think about the power of now. Now, here's the good news for Jonathan Kuminga. Check this out. Steve Kerr did talk about this whole idea of Draymond Green as the team's center.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the beginning of the season, our feeling was we didn't really want to have Draymond be the full-time five from the start. But now that we're down to the 27 games, I'm much more comfortable rolling him out there as our starting five, like we did in Houston. You know, playing him more minutes there for a couple of months, I think, is very doable. But I think we have good options too to play him at the four, you know, especially with Quentin shooting the ball well the way he is. We can play Draymond at both the four and the five and feel good about it.
Okay, but he used the word starting, so I do think this is terrible news for Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yeah, it's been bad news for him.
It's been bad news. I think that will continue. I think that Quentin Post is going to be someone that they experiment with on a night-to-night basis, and then it'll also go based on how his shot is or is not falling. Looney factors into this as well. But if I had to guess right now at a starting lineup the day that Jonathan Kuminga returns, this is actually what I think it would be. And again, I'm going to tuck in where we were when we last left you. A week ago tonight, the Warriors played in Houston, and Steve Kerr took Buddy Hield's minutes, and he chopped him in half. And they played a really good basketball game outside of about a five-minute stretch in the fourth quarter where things got wobbly. That's the NBA. Turned it into a clutch game. Warriors win, so all is forgiven. But they played a pretty good basketball game that night, especially because Jonathan's coming off of a lengthy injury. I think he's going to start Draymond at the five, Moses at the four, Jimmy at the three, Pods at the two, and Steph Curry at the one. Jonathan Kuminga coming off of the bench alongside doses of Buddy Hield and Quentin Post.
Makes sense.
That's probably what I'm not going to say what I would do. Who cares what I would do? I'm not a basketball coach. That's my prediction on what Steve's going to do.
I wonder about the Buddy Hield part of it because, you know, when he can be out there and he gives you great spacing and when he is right with his shot, he's something that you don't have outside of Steph. You've got somebody in Buddy who can knock down the three, but you saw it going into the break that, you know, Buddy was struggling and he was searching, and so his minutes did get cut in half. And, you know, when Kuminga is healthy and he comes back, do you want to start him with Jimmy and Draymond? I don't see that as being a real viable trio alongside any other two guys. So you want to kind of mix and match Kuminga with Draymond, with Jimmy Butler, and have only two of those guys out there whenever you can.
Yeah, like look, they're all going to have to work together. And Steve was already on record when Jimmy Butler was acquired as like, Jimmy will be on the court when Steph's not.
Right.
So, like, if Jonathan Kuminga is going to play basketball for the Warriors, then you're going to have to work with Steph sometimes. You get to work with Jimmy sometimes. And sure, sometimes with both. You know, like we're going to spend a lot of time with this starting lineup. It probably should be more about the finishing lineup for two reasons. A, that's more important basketball. And B, that's when the Warriors have really struggled. Like, can you do that? Can you finish with those guys? Can Draymond, Jonathan, Jimmy, and Steph finish together? Final five every night.
Well, that becomes the biggest question because, again, that's your problem as far as spacing and three-point shooting. And I think it depends on where you are in the game. If you've got a lead or if you're trailing and you need to hit a three, if you need to have something happen offensively, you probably don't want to play Jimmy and Kuminga and Draymond all together, which means you're not going to play Kuminga because you're going to play Jimmy and you're going to play Draymond and Steph late in the game.
Ooh.
You would figure, right? Like, I can't imagine a late-game scenario where you don't have those three out there.
All right. So this is dicey. I know we're excited about it. I am too. Like, get all your guys back. But it's also dicey. There's a lot of different ways this could go.